Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Really, Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Catastrophic.
Welcome into the Believe in Timberwolves podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke, and today is, it's actually Wednesday, but this is Friday's episode. Kyle Tighe is back with me. We're recording part two of our podcast. And the first thing, well, first, Kyle, you said you were doing good before. Has that changed since the first 30, 40 minutes of our conversation? Maybe I put you in a bad mood.
No, I'm caffeinated. I'm ready to go. So I know on part one, we talked about rookie of the year and some moving stuff with A-Rod and or some Instagram activity from A-Rod and Mark Lowry. But no, I think there's still a couple topics that are worth mentioning because this week in the NBA has been chaotic with not only playoff games like the on the court stuff, but the off the court stuff has trumped it tenfold by the coaches that get fired and the front office craziness. So I'm excited to hop back into it.
Yeah. So Wednesday was a wild news day. Timberwolves related, really the only big news was the Anthony Edwards not winning rookie of the year thing. But yeah, we're going to talk about, I think there's six coaching vacancies right now in the NBA. And then we're also going to talk about how the Wolves stack up against playoff teams. How far away are they from being able to compete with those guys? And things like that. But first, I want to get a quick word from our sponsor, Bet Online, so then we can get into the show. So we'll be right back. Injuries have been plaguing a ton of teams so far in the NBA playoffs, and that is causing odds on sports betting to change a ton. The month of June is also heating up with a ton of exciting sports action, and Bet Online is where you can find all of that. From basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all of your online sports betting needs. So visit their website today, that is betonline.ag, or you can even use your mobile device to join, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to betonline.ag and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Kyle. So the first thing I want to talk about is just the draft lottery is on Tuesday. We're going to plug this again really quick. Forgotten Star Brewery on Tuesday. That is June 22nd. The draft lottery starts at 7:30. Dane Moore, Kyle Tighe will be there. Britt Robson and Dane will be doing a podcast live at Forgotten Star Brewery after the draft lottery concludes. Before that, you can come out, hang out, have some beers. Like I said, Kyle will be there. I am hoping to be there. A few of the other Canis guys will be there. And obviously Britt and Dane will be there as well. And who knows? Who else? Somebody else could show up too. You never know. Maybe D'Angelo Russell will be in the house. Who knows? Just kidding. But
maybe we'll get Bomero to sign his contract like while we're there.
Live in the brewery. But yeah, so if you are able to make it, that's Forgotten Star Brewery. It's in Fridley. Dane said it was about 10 minutes from downtown Minneapolis. So if you can make it, try and make it. Like I said, I'm hoping to be there. It could be there's a 27.1% chance that we have a fantastic night and a 70 whatever else percent chance that we have a good night. Cause it's going to be a good night regardless, but it might be a really good night.
And really, truly, like all jokes aside, cause if they do win the lottery or they keep their pick in the top three, I mean, I'm going to be acting like I'll get arrested. Like, let's just put it that way. But if they don't, if they lose their pick or whatever, if they give up four, they give up six, they give up eight, whatever to Golden State, it'll kind of be just closure too, right? Like it'll finally put a bow on the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade. Then we can move forward and worry about that. We kind of finally have all our own picks again. And again, if they don't get their pick, I think you're going to see the team. I know we have made jokes about this. You're going to see the team really embrace the Bomero thing because I think they will literally work on getting him over here. He'll be their prized kind of draft pick for this year. And I've really liked what I've seen from him. I know he just wrapped up a championship with Barcelona this week. So no, come on Tuesday, June 22nd. Lottery's at 7:30. We'll be there early. Forgotten Star Brewery. But no, let's talk about some NBA stuff. Let's talk about what's going on in the league.
Yeah, just one quick thing, too, I want to remember. Charlotte Hornets jumped up from the eighth worst odds to top three, so there is hope from the Timberwolves, so it's not all lost, but
yep,
it's not guaranteed by any means. And then I want to look at 2019 also. The Pelicans jumped up from seventh, and the Grizzlies jumped up from eighth to get 1 and 2. So, like, every year since these new lottery odds have happened, the top three teams, I mean, in 2019, that was the first year it's been this new whatever. Mm-hmm. New York had the number one odds. They fell to three. They were the only top three odds to keep theirs. And then last year, the Wolves had the third. They jumped up to one. Warriors fell from 1 to 2. But then the Hornets jumped up. So people make jumps all the time with these new lottery odds. It's only been 2 years, so small sample size alert. But there's a chance. So there's always a chance. I'm not counting on it. But the one topic I wanted to talk to you about is, how would you feel if the Timberwolves do lose? How upset are you if they don't end up getting a top three pick in that draft lottery?
Honestly, as a fan and as someone who covers team, I'm not that upset, only because, yes, it would be wonderful if they got one of those, you know, top three picks. And it seems like there is kind of a top three guys. I mean, we'll get into draft coverage. Yeah, maybe four, but it seems like there's really like a top three or four. But yeah, I mean, it would be great to have one of those guys. But I also know that this isn't one of those weird trades where if you don't convey your pick at some point, it becomes 2 seconds. It literally, like, you're going to give up a first round pick. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So for me, the way I want to approach this with like this new ownership thing that came out of nowhere, but is so well long overdue. And with how well the team drafted in 2020, I mean, it looks more and more likely. I mean, you and I did a redraft, but it looks more and more likely that the Wolves walked out of 2020 with three lottery picks.
Right.
With how Jaden's performed, but also, I mean, you're starting to see articles now and coverage of what Balmero's done over in Europe. He seems likely that he would be a lottery pick in this draft. So if you're going to have to give up the pick, I think I would just rather not have it hanging over our heads again next year, because as the NBA has showed us time and time again, even if they did keep their pick and they got one of these cool college guys, you never know what happens. You just never know what will happen next year and what could go wrong. And I don't want to be giving up a first overall pick, because that's franchise, you know, murder. And it would be so embarrassing. So if
that's
could just
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, exactly. And if you could just kind of clear that from your conscience, also have that asset now of, you know, being able to start, you know, maybe selling that pick or flipping that pick at the trade deadline or something. So, I just want it over with. I really do. Like, yes, it'd be cool. It'd be awesome for content. It'd be awesome for the team, but I'm really okay just getting rid of it, as long as it's not four. That's like a just squirming situation where if they gave up the fourth pick to Golden State. But I mean, I just, right when you were speaking, I did the Tankathon sim lottery button once. Indiana moved up 12 spots. They won the lottery. Chicago, New Orleans finished out the top three, and the Wolves were ninth. So if the Wolves wrap up the Russell for Wiggins swap and give up the ninth pick in a draft that it's top heavy, but I mean, I don't recognize the guys that are listed at 8, 9, and 10 in these mock drafts. That's great. Like, let's move on. We have D'Lo, we have Cat, we got Ant, Jade, and Balmero. We got all these guys. Like, let's just move forward and put it behind us. So I'm not going to be bummed. Are you going to be bummed, or are you going to be like relieved?
I'm going to be like slightly bummed, just because I think it'd be fantastic to get one of these guys, but I'm not going to be like, I really thought we were going to just come in here and win the lottery again. I had all the odds are literally there. Like,
right.
If I had to give you a percentage chance that the Timberwolves end up in the top three, like, I would say probably like 27% chance, right?
Right.
No, but in all seriousness, no, I don't think that I would be like too upset about it. I've done a couple things where I've talked about like potential of some of these guys coming in, but I've been playing it as if they are not getting that pick pretty much all off season. And even the like ending part of the season, I'm going to sim the lottery one time quick, and the Minnesota Timberwolves jumped up to two. So maybe that is going to lock in. But yeah, so I am not like throwing all my eggs in the basket of this. Like you said, you're losing the first round pick regardless. My only pushback on that is, next year's first round pick, with the way the Timberwolves are trending, you're hoping that's like not even a lottery pick, or maybe like a late lottery pick, which, like, regard, you know, you know, whatever. It's still a first round pick, and they're not going to be that good where the pick's still going to be worth something. They're not going to be like a one seed and it's going to be like the last pick in the first round. It's going to be a decent pick. So I think that it's going to be worth something. Like you said, you could start to aggregate that in some trades for something, but you could argue you could trade this first round pick, or if you end up getting one, two, or three, for something even better. But what you said about relief, I will be very relieved just to not have that stress and have that overall, like, oh, this happened and then this happened. The Timberwolves suck. Like, the Warriors fleeced them and got Andrew Wiggins, all defensive vote getter, and a top four pick. So that would really burn if they get the top four pick. Outside of that, I'm going to be fine with the results. I really don't want it to be top four, but at the end of the day, I could care less about what other franchise are doing. My Minnesota Timberwolves, that's all I care about. We ended the season in a good direction. And I think something that can put a little aloe vera on the sunburn is that Leandro Bolmaro, potentially, everybody's talking like it's a certainty. It's not a certainty that he's here next year, but potentially coming over. I think there's a better chance that he comes over if the Timberwolves don't get their pick, just for like financial reasons.
I think they're related, to be honest with you. I think if they keep the pick, less likely. If they don't keep the pick, more likely. And I think, not to credit, I mean, I think from what I've heard, like, I think this is also kind of part of the plan.
Right.
Like, I mean, when they drafted Bolmaro, they knew he wasn't coming over last year. And I think, but like, when they did it, they had already made the Russell trade, right? So they knew that they owed a pick down the road. And I think that was their kind of, whether it be a roster strategy or just a marketing strategy, right? Because, like, if they give up their pick on Tuesday, but on Wednesday randomly announce that, hey, we've agreed to terms with Bolmaro and he's coming over, like, that's going to help the fan base.
Because exactly,
as we've seen now with COVID, like, they're going to fill stadiums again this fall. We've got friends in the ticket office that got to sell season tickets. And, like, you don't want to be the team that doesn't have a first round pick. So I think it's all intertwined. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think Tuesday will say a lot about what the Wolves will be doing in this draft, as well as what the Wolves will be doing with their former draft in Bolmaro. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of people might question, like, oh, it's Leandro Bolmaro. He was the 23rd or 25th pick or whatever in this last draft. Like, why is everybody so excited about him? One, he slipped down in the draft a little bit, I think, due to the fact that he wouldn't be coming over. Like, a lot of foreign prospects they slip a few spots just because they're not going to be here. And teams are maybe looking to try and get somebody in sooner. The Timberwolves had two other first round picks, so they weren't that worried about it. And two, he's just played like way better than he did before last year's draft. To the point where, like, I was listening to Jack Borman, Jake Painting on Paint Points talk about it. And Jack thinks that Bolmaro's like for sure a lottery pick in this draft, like this 2021 NBA draft. I think he might have even said top 10. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think that might have been something that he uttered. So regardless, he's going to be I think he's a lottery talent too. Jake's, I think, working on something about Bolmaro.
Yeah, Jake's got 9,000 words coming on Bolmaro. And on your point about Bolmaro slipping, that's a really good point. Like, maybe he slipped, we'll never know, like, for, because people knew he wasn't coming over.
Right.
Guys that were drafted after him include like RJ Hampton, Emmanuel Quickley, Jaden McDaniels, like Desmond Bane. Yes, he fell in the draft a little bit, but there were guys after him that like were on all rookie teams.
Right.
So, and Jack made a really good point. You're right on Pain Points. But then also too, like when I think it was Windhorst, they did like their end of season rookie redraft. A lot of people, when they got to 12, I think they only did 12 or 14 redraft players. All the analysts were like, yeah, we'll take Bolmaro here. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, Tuesday's a big moment, and then it kind of just forks either way. Like, do the Wolves go all in on a youth movement with Jaden and Bolmaro and Ant and Cade Cunningham, right, or do they have to kind of focus now on the mid-level and kind of, you know, fringe moves and maybe making a sign and trade with Culver and a couple other contracts to get a John Collins or Miles Turner? So I don't think Tuesday, no matter what happens, I don't think Tuesday affects the strategy of this front office at all. It's year three for them. I think the team has the worst record in the NBA since Gerson took over, which is fine because that was part of the plan, but you can't go lose 60 games again. Like, you have to start winning. So Tuesday doesn't affect a lot to me because this team has to pull all the strings and go all in to an extent because they have to start winning games. They have to. Right. That's this season has to be a successful season.
And I think that there's going to be one big word that I'm going to tie to Tuesday, and that word's going to be clarity. I think that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
You know, regardless of what happens, I think the front office has a plan. They're like, okay, if the pick comes, we're going to target this guy first. If we can't get him, this guy. And then we're going to try and maybe trade it and do this or whatever their thought process is. And they're like, if it doesn't come, we're going to try to get Leandro to come over. He's going to be our first round pick. He's looking good. You know, and then maybe they have a plan for other people. And maybe they try to aggregate their 2022 pick because after the draft, that's fair game. You know, after the 2021 draft, the 2022 pick can be traded. So maybe they try to aggregate that with 2024 with whoever, try to get some star player who over the summer wants out. But regardless, I think they have a plan either way. So I don't feel too like, oh man, the direction of the franchise, if they don't get this pick, is screwed. Like, I don't think that is whatsoever true. So I'm just going to be happy to have clarity with it. And I think that's pretty much all I can say about that. But some of those guys would be awesome to have, but I don't think the world's burning. I think the Wolves will contend for the playoffs either way next year. Granted, they have relatively good health compared to the rest of the league. So I'm pretty excited for Tuesday. Again, I'm hoping to be in attendance for that because I think that'd be cool. Last year, we were in a pandemic and everybody was sitting in their couch for a draft lottery event. So yeah, I'm just really excited for that. Any last words on the draft lottery?
No, I think we said it well. Like I said, I think I said there's a two-pronged. They either get it or they don't. I'm pretty sure Gerson, Rosas, and Sachin Gupta and all those guys have 64 different prongs of it doesn't really affect them. They're pretty cold-blooded guys. I think no matter what happens Tuesday, they already have a plan that if the lottery's at 7:30 p.m., by 8 o'clock, they already have a plan of what they're going to do. So it's the next hurdle. It's the next step in order of operations, but it's going to be another wild, wild off season, and it kicks off pretty much this coming Tuesday.
For sure. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is the coaching vacancies around the league and what that means for the Timberwolves. But first, I want to get another quick ad break in, and then we will be right back. If you're looking for the best meat in the market, you have to go to Moink and get the most delicious meat you have ever tasted in your entire life. Get Moink right now. Moink was founded by an 8th-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it is the best bacon he's ever tasted. And I agree. And Jamie Siminoff, creator of the Ring video doorbell, invested in Moink. So why do just 4 companies control 80% of the meat industry? Because big food crushes the little guy. You can help change that with MoinkBox.com. Join the Moink movement today. Go to MoinkBox.com/believe right now. And listen to the show, get free bacon for a year with every box order. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but only for a limited time. Spelled MoinkBox.com/BLEAV. That's MoinkBox.com/BLEAV. All right, Kyle. So like I mentioned before for a little bit, 6 coaches have been either fired. Actually, I think 5 have been fired. And then Brad Stevens got promoted to general manager or president of basketball operations, whatever his title is. But Scott Brooks got fired today. Stan Van Gundy got fired today. And then recently Nate Bjorkgren for the Pacers was let go. Terry Stotts for the Blazers was let go. And Steve Clifford for the Magic was let go. So there are right now 6 coaching vacancies. And the Timberwolves are not one of them, so some people might question why is this relevant to be on the Believe in Timberwolves podcast, but it's relevant because Chris Finch was one of the, if not the hottest coach on the market for this coming offseason, and the Timberwolves picked him up during the season off of Toronto's bench, and they got a lot of flack for it because David Vanterpool was sitting on their bench. And right now it's looking to be a good move. The Timberwolves looked pretty solid under Finch, even given the circumstances of Russell being hurt for a while, Cat not being 100%, Beasley being out, all sorts of things. And now he cannot be picked up by any of those other teams. And another thing to be noted, the Sacramento Kings, basically it was reported by someone with sources that they were going to fire Luke Walton if they could get Chris Finch, but they couldn't get Finch, so they decided not to fire Walton. So he was a hot commodity. So what are your thoughts on that? With so many coaching openings where we didn't necessarily think there would be a lot, I'm kind of surprised by a couple of them, like Clifford. The Stevens one came out of nowhere. But what are your thoughts overall on that, what I just laid out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Wolves were obviously ridiculed when they made the move. And some of that was still accurate and still holds up. Like, I mean, it was a weird process because you don't see coaches get let go during the season. From all accounts, they had qualified candidates on their own bench. And not only Vanderpool, but I mean, Prigioni and, but Gers made his move for his guy. And he took the flack for it. And just like anything else, right? Like, it really only matters if you win. And Chris Finch didn't like win a ton of games, but he gave you some promising things to work with. But more than anything, I just think it shows that maybe while the process to do it wasn't the best, the result was what you wanted. Because Chris Finch was, with what you just said and how you laid it out, Chris Finch was going to get hired by one of these teams. Like, Chris Finch would have been on Indiana's top list. It would have been on Orlando's top list. Some of these other teams might have more veteran laden
established coach, right? Like Portland, yeah. and things like that.
But I mean, like, you look at the all-star or the superstars right now that don't have a coach. It's like Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson. Like, I'm not saying all those guys are better than like Cat or like Ant, but I mean, some of them are. and most they might have been hotter spots. Most of them are. So it's just nice that. And you're just talking about coaches. I don't know if we're going to spiral into this, but like this afternoon, there's like some weird Twitter reporting about the
front offices
and with the Mavs and Luka and Donnie Nelson leaving the team. So it's just weird that like we just talked about how sad Tuesday could be losing our pick. But like, this is the first time that I can remember that the Wolves don't have front office drama or an open head coaching spot. Like, they're pretty set there. So they might not have a pick, but they have a lot of other things that are going their way.
And the Timberwolves don't have like any of that like uncertainty. You know, they have their they have their guys or whatever. But I guess my one question to you is, so we've been labeling Chris Finch as Gerson's guy the whole time. Do you think Rosas was Finch's guy and he was going to come to Minnesota over any of those teams just because of his connection? Or do you think it's more of a one-way street with him? And obviously you don't know the actual answer, but like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think if you look at what David Vanderpool is going through, like struggling to find a head coaching job, even though he's been listed or interviewed or all these things. I mean, I think I know Chris Finch and Gerson Rosas are attached at the hip. They're at a Twins game one night and they're at the Lynx game the next night. And then they're golfing on a Thursday. But I just think that like, if Gers didn't make his move for Chris Finch and another gig came open, Chris Finch would have taken it because it's so, right. I mean, there's 30 head coaching jobs in the league. And like 10 of them are guys long tenured that probably aren't going to give up their spot anytime soon. So I think they are both, you know, interested in each other. And now they are, and their partnership is what we're building off of. But I think that's the reason he made the move, is because I don't think if you don't make that move and then the Kings make the move a month later and they reach out to Chris Finch and they say, hey, we'll pay you $4 million in a 4-year deal. Like, is he going to say no based off of just hoping one day you can get the Wolves gig? That's not how that works. Like,
yeah,
these opportunities don't come up a lot. So that's why I think the timing of it was beautiful. The how it went through and the process of it was a little murky and deserves some criticism. But again, the result was getting Chris Finch, and it looks like he's a really good coach. And he's starting to get national pub too. Like, multiple NBA people that you follow on Twitter have mentioned that, like, oh, people think highly of Chris Finch.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's the thing that I think is the most interesting with it all is something that hasn't really been touched on a lot, but I kind of want to bring it up, is if Finch didn't come in, obviously the Timberwolves, Ryan Saunders kind of had a bad luck with like a bill of health with the roster, but say the Timberwolves were still really bad post All-Star break with Ryan Saunders, then all of a sudden, like, is Cat pissed and wants out? Or like, does Chris Finch coming in potentially save Cat from like thinking more of potentially asking for a trade? That's totally purely speculative, but like, that's a possibility too. So I think it really was good timing all around, outside of the fact of the David Vanderpool situation. But David Vanderpool I don't think was the coach for our team. I think he might be a fine head coach somewhere else, but I don't think he was the answer. So I'm glad the Timberwolves didn't go in that direction. But yeah, I guess overall, I think it was a good move, and that the timing of it was good.
It'll be interesting to see where Vanderpool lands, because I think highly of him, but I'm with you. I just don't think he was the answer for this franchise. But also too, a story, because I'm a nerd, I just am really interested to see who Chris Finch fills out his bench with.
Yeah,
because some guys were let go, but like Prigioni, I think will stick around. And then there's also like Dane had actually got this scoop, but the Iowa Wolves are going to replace Newman Beck as the G League coach. So that'll be interesting too, because I thought Newman Beck did a really good job. And he'll land on his feet somewhere. But no, I mean, filling out your coaching staff is like a pretty important thing. And the Wolves have like a third of that filled out right now. So that'll be another interesting thing to see as the coaching carousel shakes out, is who lands next to Chris Finch, who's his right-hand man, and who do they bring in as like maybe player development or those types of positions.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like the big thing that didn't really get talked about either on like a national scale, which is not really that big a deal, but the bench is gonna have to be filled out, the G League coach is gonna have to be filled in, and they had a good G League program. They brought up some guys like Naz Reid and Jalen Noel and Jordan McLaughlin, so I think that's important too. I want to move on from the coaches thing and talk about kind of the Timberwolves and how they stack up against playoff teams. One thing I wanted to bring up, I've heard a lot of people say that after watching the playoffs to see how far away the Timberwolves truly are from being in contention for like playoffs and things like that. I guess I push back on that a little bit based on the fact that I think you're going to bake in quite a bit of progression from like Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels for next season. And then the overall fact of like, stars, like all-star players, get you to the playoffs. So I compiled a list of the teams that had two all-stars this past season, the ones that made the playoffs. So these are all the teams that had two all-stars this season. The Lakers with LeBron and AD, the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, the Celtics with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, the Suns had Chris Paul, Devin Booker, the Bucks had Giannis and Chris Middleton, the Nets had three. They had KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. 76ers had Joel and Ben, and the Jazz had Gobert, Mitchell, and Conley. Some of those didn't play because of injuries. Some of those were injury replacements, but regardless, those are all players. Those are all all-star players, and every team that had two all-stars made the playoffs. The Timberwolves have two all-star caliber players on the roster right now with Kat, and the way that Anthony Edwards played after the All-Star break last season. So I guess my point is, like, why are they so far away? Obviously some role players, but why are they so far away from being like an 8 seed? Like the Boston Celtics made the playoffs and they're top heavy, and then they don't have like a ton behind them. You know, they really struggled because they did not have depth. Timberwolves don't have that, so I don't think they're going to contend for a championship, things like that. But I think with a couple potential all-stars, Kat plays like an all-star every single season. Ant, I think, will be playing at an all-star level next year. I don't know if he'll necessarily get an all-star nod because the league is just stacked, but he's playing at that level. So I think overall, like, it's a possibility that the Wolves really aren't as far away as some people might think. And maybe I'm just completely off base. I could totally. But Anthony Edwards post All-Star break shot or scored 23 points per game. Or excuse me, last 22 games of the season. Shout out Dane Moore, tweeted this out earlier. Last 22 games of the season, he scored 23.3 points per game on 58.6% true shooting, which is above league average. 299 players in the league had a lower shooting percentage than that. When you think of true shooting percentage, you think of the league, 15 players per team, there's 450 players. So basically Ant was in the top one third, and there's not quite 450 players, but that true shooting percentage on 23 points per game, which is like top 20 ish scoring in the league this year. It's better percentage, true shooting percentage than Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum, Luka, De'Aaron Fox, LeBron, Devin Booker, D'Lo, Brandon Ingram, Donovan Mitchell, Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, LaMelo Ball, Ja Morant, just an endless list of players. He shot better than those players while scoring 23 points per game. So if you think that player can't be all-star caliber next year, I would, like, you're sadly mistaken. I think he's going to play up to that level.
I 1,000% agree with you that they're closer than people think. I only for the purpose of this podcast would push back on like the metric we're using, because you're right. They have two, I mean, maybe three, if you include D'Angelo Russell, all-star caliber players, right? But how many guys make an all-star team? I think it's 10 or 12, right? So it's, let's say 12, so 24. 12. I mean, the NBA in my mind has never been deeper, right? So this past all-star game, Jimmy Butler and Bam didn't make it. And I think Jimmy Butler and Bam are a more successful duo right now than Kat and Russell or Kat and Ant. So I guess my only premise is that is like, you can look at Kat and Ant are all-star caliber players. Isn't that good? But I'd make a case that I could give you 35 guys that are also all, I mean, the league is so deep.
Right.
You ranked your top 60 guys. When the NBA did that last year, I mean, Zach LaVine was like 48th, and like he made, you know what I mean? Like he was like in all-star conversation. So, but I, to your point, I think the thing that's really interesting, and we saw it like last night or this Wednesday morning with the Kawhi news. I think the Wolves for the 2021 season that's wrapping up are light years behind their competition, right? Because they were the 13th team in the West or whatever. There's eight teams left. They're all vying for championship. I think the Wolves are six steps ahead of most of the competition already for 2022, based on what we just talked about, right? How many teams don't even have a coach yet? There's no guy in there right now or woman running the team. Chris Finch was in there all week this week, working with Ant, working with Jaden, working with these guys as they're in working summer workouts.
Right.
Also too, like how many guys are going to not start the season next year? Kawhi Leonard probably isn't going to start the season. It sounds like he had an ACL or MCL injury. Jamal Murray is not going to be back to start the season. Klay Thompson's probably not going to be back to start the season. Like you see all of these teams that have these like significant injuries that the Wolves are going to be at 100% health. I mean, knock on wood. And they should, I mean, the Wolves should jump out of the gate next year and be like, we have to start fast and blow by Dallas. We have to start fast and blow by Denver, who, I mean, Jokic just played all 72 games, but he's going to be exhausted. It's another short off season. So these guys are going to be exhausted. The guys that went deep runs. That's why I would think the Wolves have a greater chance for next year, is because they're going to be one of the only teams that's healthy, well-rested. They haven't played basketball in a while. And as you expertly pointed out, they have that continuity. They have a GM. They have a front office. They have a coach. And they don't have anyone that's coming off of a long-term injury. I mean, we might not see Jamal Murray until New Year's. We might not see Klay Thompson be off a minutes restriction until Valentine's Day. Like, the Wolves don't have any of those guys. The Wolves have 15 guys that are all healthy. So you're right. I think the Wolves are much closer than people think. But that's you and I talking. Like, how many people are listening to this rolling their eyes saying, I've heard you say that before?
Dane is. So,
yeah, I have no
pushback on that. Dane 100% is rolling his eyes. No, I get that. And I get that. But I guess I think that we're going to see potentially the best overall season of Karl Anthony Towns that we have ever seen. Maybe he won't break his record scoring of 26 points per game, but I think he's going to be a better defender, a better facilitator, and just as good scoring. I think you're going to see D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell was legitimately awesome.
Yep.
After he came back from injury, after his surgery, like great. Really good facilitator, playmaker, scored the ball well. And then I think Ant is going to, if Ant takes a leap like Trae Young did, and I don't think he'll take quite that, but like I said before, if he takes half that and he's averaging 24, 25 points a game with the efficiency that he had after the All-Star break last season, Jaden's going to open up a bunch, I think, this season. As a defender, I think he's going to get better. And as an offensive player, I think he's going to flourish. Then you're going to have either Malik Beasley or maybe a trade, whatever, outside of that. But Ant, D'Lo, Kat, and Jaden, four of your five starters, I think they're all going to be better next year than they were this year. Where you see some of those teams where their players kind of are who they are, when you're talking about like the Blazers kind of are who they are until they blow it up. Jokic can't be, I doubt Jokic is better next season than he was this past season. Not that I think the Wolves will like be up to that level, but I think a lot of people played like kind of out of their mind this season. That I think will kind of come back down to earth a little bit. And I think the Timberwolves will probably be better just because they'll finally have a coach who got to install his system, who seems to be a really good coach. They're going to have continuity with the roster and hopefully a good bill of health to start the season. I think that they're going to be a playoff team.
I don't want to kill your momentum here. We're both optimists. If they're not a playoff team now, because what does that mean to you? Like now six teams get it, and then those four teams are in the...
I still consider like eighth or higher as playoff team. Okay,
I was going to say, because like if they're not in technically now with 10 teams being in contention for the playoffs, I'm an optimist. I love this team. If they're not one of the top 10 teams in the West next year, people are losing jobs. Like I've just talked to you about how much I love Chris Finch, how much I love Gerson Rosas.
Yeah.
Someone's getting fired. So... Exactly. It's not really a, like, I think they can like choo-choo train. Like this team has to be one of the 10 best teams in the West next year, or it is a bona fide disaster. And you're going to see rumors of trade demands and people upset and shakeups. So
right.
Not that I didn't mean to jump in on that, but I think you and I have always beaten the drum on optimism because I think there's a lot to be optimistic for, but this team also has to just deliver. Like this team, I'm with you on some of these guys regressing around the league. Like, I don't know if Jokic can pull off what he just pulled off, but I know there are people in my mentions or on buddies that text me like, well, can Ant do what he did the second half of the season? And that's a valid
point.
I think he can, but I'm with you. I think there's reason to be optimistic, but man, you agree, right? Like this team,
yeah.
You just painted a picture of how talented they are.
If they don't get into the play-in tournament,
a disaster
with good health, you know, Cat goes down and whatever, like,
yep,
backtrack a little bit, but like stuff's gonna hit the fan, and then maybe it is time to look into trading some of these players. I don't really want to talk about that, but like
no, just
stuff could hit the fan, and then something has to happen at that point. If you can't even make the 10 seed with that roster, something has to happen, whether that's front office or the roster or the coaching staff or whatever it is.
Yep.
But I'm going to keep my optimism.
I'm with you.
We're going to have an extended off season compared to some of these other teams. We're going into the summer with relative good health.
Yep.
A couple guys are going to, you know, I'm sure D'Lo's still partially working on his knee and Kat's fixing his wrist a little bit, whatnot, but nobody needs surgery. Nobody's, except for Derek Culver, but nobody's going under the knife or anything.
Well,
so,
the young guys, a lot of the Wolves have, like, how many guys on the Wolves haven't played in a summer league? Like they'll be able to, they're going to have a loaded summer league roster. I push back at the notion that like at the end of season press conference, Chris Finch said like a lot of guys will be there. I'm not sure Anthony Edwards needs to suit up for 1 minute in summer league. Just I've been to summer league like 6 years. Yeah. I know it's developmental, but it's also sloppy as hell. And it's guys trying to make a name for themselves. And I don't need guys going at Ant's legs.
Right.
But Jaden, you know, Nas, Jalen, maybe Culver,
Jared, maybe if he's healthy. Yeah.
So it'll be good for them to get that development too. But I think the biggest thing you said was the C word, continuity. Like that's what the Wolves have in their corner. Because if you just look at any other team in the league right now, I mean, teams that you thought the Wolves were so far behind, Dallas, Portland, all these teams, they're not really like they're subtly catching up because these other teams have all this drama. So it's a drama-free summer. It seems like all the guys really like each other. The coach is filling out his staff. The front office is going to be busy. So it's a weird year because they were bad. Like they were the 13th team in the West, but it's like the happiest summer you and I have had following this team in like, I don't know, man, a while.
A while, for sure. Well, anyways, yeah, I think that kind of wraps up pretty much everything I wanted to talk about. But I'm excited for the summer to get going. I'm excited to hopefully be there on Tuesday. I hope to see a lot of people listen to this podcast there on Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be quite a number of people. People are going to want to go listen to Dane talk in person. That's going to be cool. And just after last season, sitting on our couches, watching the draft lottery, I think that being able to get out and see some people, I got my vaccination card if I need it. Like I'm ready to go meet some. I mean, I've met no one like Kyle and I have never met in person. Me and Jack, I mean, I've met Dan and let me think, John, and that's it from like the Canis side. And I've met like Chris Hine and those guys, but like me and Kyle, we have never been in the same room as each other or city.
I know
as
it's
each
other, weird probably. Because. Like it's not, I mean, the pandemic lasted a really long time, but we've been doing this a while, but yeah, just there's a whole new wave of people that are covering this team and that kind of are at the forefront. And we've been locked in our basements basically for 16 months watching. So I'm excited for that event. I think if you're ready to close this on up, I think we should both, like, I have Tankathon open right now. I know we did this once, going to just do one last, cause we're posting this on Friday. So my final click has the Wolves at 7th.
Okay.
Which I'm okay. Right. So I just want to say the Wolves, my sim 7th. I'm okay with that. Click the button. Tell me where you're at and tell me if you're happy with that.
Wolves dropped to 8th in mine.
Okay.
But that is, I'm happy with that. I think that, you know, Golden State gets a draft pick that's not going to like alter the league. And I think that's kind of what I'm expecting to happen. 6th, 7th, 8th. That's what I'm expecting. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. Oklahoma City jumps up. Chicago gets a top 2 pick and then Orlando at 3. So I'm happy for Orlando, but they lose their Chicago pick. So that kind of sucks for them, but at least they still get top 3.
Okay. I'm guilty. I clicked it one more time and this is probably the coolest Tankathon standings you could get. It was Wolves 1. So Minnesota jumps up, wins it again. Charlotte 2. So Charlotte gets a partner for LaMelo. Detroit 3. They could use that. And then Oklahoma City goes 4-5. Because Houston drops to 5. So they would have the 4th and the 5th pick.
Wow.
In what is to many, maybe a 5-player draft. I know we had said 3 or 4, but
that's enough to trade up to 1, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I said 7th, you said 8th. That'd be great. But also I'll take this one too. Like I'll take Wolves, Charlotte, Detroit. So it'll be interesting. I've said it 1,000 times. The off season for the team starts on Tuesday. And after that lottery, after the ping pong balls drop, I think it's going to be wild. Like, thanks to everyone for listening to Brendan supporting Canis. It's been a dry 6-8 weeks, but starting next Tuesday, I think things are going to pop. It's going to be a pretty fun, exciting off season.
For sure. Yeah. I'm super excited for it. Like I said, Forgotten Star Brewery in Fridley. I hope I'm saying the right town. I think it's Fridley.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that's on Tuesday, draft lottery night. I'm hoping to be there. And then I'll be back, I think, Wednesday probably of next week to kind of discuss that with potentially someone or by myself. But yeah, thank you all for listening to this podcast. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, Kyle, for doing
absolutely
2 with me. I don't know how long we've gone, but we've gone longer, I think. So, but again, thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, thank you all for listening to this podcast. It has been the Believe in Timberwolves podcast presented by Bet Online. Go to Bet Online, bet on some sports. Finals odds are up. I mean, people are getting injured everywhere. If you can sneak in and get something, try and do that. But thank you again, and I'll see you all next week. Peace out.
See you Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.